This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Have you noticed that the prices for Xbox Live Arcade games have gone up? So did Microsoft. Plus, Blizzard just pulled a Ubisoft, but I bet less people will be upset. Tonight is August 7th, 2011, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akerifer from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I'm so happy the Xfinity Comcast guy actually showed up today at 11 with my new modem so I could actually do the show tonight. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf, and I guess we're sponsored by Xfinity Comcast today. No, we're not. I'm kidding. If you want to join us, if you're live here on All Games Radio, head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And a little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number, Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or toll-free North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. I actually have checked. Skype actually works. This time, I had a lot of issues last week. I apologize to the podcast listeners. The podcast took a while to get up because there's actually a lot on the podcast that was not a part of the live show because I still wanted to do a good podcast for people. So that's why I took a little bit extra time. There's actually a caller on the podcast that was not heard live. So if you listen live, you actually missed the last 10 minutes of the show. But it works now, so we will actually have live callers tonight. Or you can send me an email over on our form on BobbyBlackwolf.com. So let's talk about games. And prices and money and stuff, because this is actually a story. This was a story a couple weeks ago, and a lot of times what I'll do is I'll hold stories over so I could talk about them later, because even though this is kind of quote-unquote old news, I think it's something interesting to note, especially because we've been talking about, last week we talked about the 3DS and about how they had to drop the price because everybody's used to paying smaller prices, lower prices for games. You know, you can get a mobile game for 99 cents, so why are you going to pay $40 for a handheld title on the 3DS? Well, it's going the other direction on Xbox Live Arcade, and GamesIndustry.biz reports that Xbox Live Arcade's portfolio director, Chris Sharla, I think that's how you pronounce the last name, has admitted that the average price of a game on the service is increasing. Speaking at the Develop conference a couple weeks ago, he stated that prices on Xbox Live Arcade are not subject to the same downward pressure as other digital retail platforms like Steam. He says, quote, "If you look at Live Arcade and do the math and look at the publicly available sales numbers, you can see that the average prices on Xbox Live Arcade have crept up over the last few years, which has been an interesting trend because on some app markets there's been a race to zero as fast as possible. We have seen a little bit of the opposite happening. I don't really know where prices are going to go. Ultimately, that's set by the market, but it has been really gratifying to see that people are willing to pay a premium for digital content," unquote. So, 2009, 21 of the 86 games released were priced at 1,200 Microsoft points, or space bucks, $15. That figure rose to 27 out of 85 games in 2010. In 2011, already 20 games have been confirmed, with a number of titles still coming out by the end of the year. What they're saying is that the proliferation of the more expensive games has coincided with a rise in quality. He claims that the average Metacritic score for Xbox Live Arcade releases has risen by 12 points since the start of the calendar year 2008, challenging widely held assumptions about where to find the best products. He says, quote, "Sometimes when developers talk about Live Arcade, they're like, we want to do a boxed quality game on Live Arcade. And I'm like, what does that mean? I can point to a bunch of 38 and 42 and 56 Metacritic scoring box games. So it actually kind of ticks him off," unquote. And then he continues, I think that the games for shipping, Limbo and Castle Crashers, that's not supposed to be a tongue twister, are as good as anything on the market. And he also says that the beauty of the Xbox Live Arcade service is that it allows games to be the correct size, so the experience doesn't suffer in the pursuit of scope. So, you know, you can make a smaller game and get away with it on Xbox Live Arcade. You can make a 3 to 4 hour experience and not get hammered for it, unlike a boxed game where, you know, a 3 to 4 hour experience is bad, apparently. So I'm going to kind of break right here and say this is all of our fault. I remember when the first 1600 point game came out, and I'm pretty sure, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, it was Penny Arcade Adventures Episode 1 on the Rainslake Precipice of Darkness. The title was just as long as how much it cost. And people were like, nobody's going to pay 1600 space bucks for an Xbox Live Arcade title. Yes, they did. And it was a huge smashing success. And there were a couple 1200 point titles before then, but that was really the first 1600 point title where we're like, whoa, guys, hang on. This is a download title. This is Xbox Live Arcade. It's supposed to be the cheap, small games. It's supposed to be able to fit on a memory card. You know, it was challenging what Xbox Live Arcade was when the 360 launched many, many years ago. And we were saying, you know, oh, you know, nobody's, you know, hopefully nobody will buy it. Well, unfortunately, people bought it. Lots of people bought Penny Arcade Adventures. Lots of people have bought Braid at the higher price. Lots of people bought Limbo at the higher price. A lot of people bought Bastion last week at the higher price. And From Dust is out right now as part of the Summer of Arcade. So people have, the silent majority, I guess, have proven that, yes, they will absolutely pay more for Xbox Live Arcade titles. You don't have to be 800 space bucks or $10 to be a hit on Xbox Live Arcade. Spazinator says, it won't be too long where prices of downloadable games will be more or less the same as disc-based ones. Shadow Next Gen says, it will be a very long time, actually. You look at Steam. Yeah, you can buy games that could be disc-based for the full price. You can pay $50 for a digital download of games. I mean, granted, you know, on Steam, the race to zero is there. But when they first come out, yeah, you're paying full price for that. PlayStation Network has full-price games downloadable. I think what's happening is that the line is being blurred. And, Xbox still differentiates. They have Xbox Live Arcade. And then they have, my mind is blanking on what they call it, but basically they have the downloadable service for their disc-based games. And they still differentiate them, where Steam doesn't differentiate those. PlayStation Network does not differentiate those. It's just Xbox Live differentiating arcade with the download titles or download play or whatever. And what people are saying is that these are fantastic titles, and so they're absolutely worth it. And I agree. You know, I think that, you know, the games that... A lot of the games that we've been talking about that are 1,200 points or higher, they are absolutely worth the money. And I think it was there was a guy who was on he didn't talk about it on this show. We actually had him designer for the lead developer for Mommy's Best Games, and he does a lot of Xbox Live indie games titles. And he was actually complaining that a lot of the games are too cheap. The people were devaluing the Xbox Live Arcade titles, and, you know, he wished that he could have charged over 800 points for his title on the indie games, but he couldn't, because that's the highest you can do an indie game. But he felt that it was worth more than that, and a lot of people attacked him for it, but it winds up he was right. And it's one of those things where, you know, gamers will complain about things, but, you know, to quote a leaked email from the EVE Online CEO, it's time to pay attention to what our customers do, not necessarily what they say. And the customers are saying, no, 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 don't, you know, these prices are out of control. But what they're doing is they're happily handing over their money, and they're playing these games. Dark Tetsuya says, games on demand. That's the term so Xbox Live Arcade and then Xbox Live Games on Demand. They have that differentiation. But, you know, PlayStation Network doesn't have that differentiation. Steam doesn't have that differentiation. It's all just downloadable titles. True in chat, notallgames.com says digital games should be at least $10 to $15 cheaper than they are in the brick and mortar stores. And Bozo is asking why. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like you think, okay, you pay for the packaging and you pay for the actual DVD. Well, a lot of boxed games now don't even, you know, put a manual in there. There's like a little sheet of paper. So you don't get a manual with a lot of these games. They use cheaper DVD cases now. And, you know, DVDs are cheap. You know, the raw manufacturing is cheap. And the pressing is cheap. So, I mean, there's not that much more that goes into a physical product anymore rather than, you know, the digital version. Yeah, you get to hold a copy in your hand, but there's less and less to hold in your hand with a lot of these games now. True says you're not getting the booklet in case or a disc. And like I said, you don't get a booklet in some of these games now. I mean, you know, I got NCAA Football 12, and there is no manual in there. It's a little card, and it's got, you know, the warranty information on it and, you know, all the warnings. But the manual is in the game. And they have the full manual, like you page through it in the game. It's on the pause menu, and it's in the main menu and stuff. So you don't even get a booklet anymore. And, you know, who knows? You know, I'm going to laugh the day that, you know, they stop actually doing DVD cases and put them in sleeves. And you just pick up the sleeve, and that's it. Now, the second part of this article actually talks about some free-to-play stuff. When questioned about the possibility of free-to-play games appearing on the service, he had less to offer. He pointed to Magic the Gathering, Magic 2012, and Pinball FX 2 as examples of the service experimenting with microtransactions, with Pinball FX 2 performing extremely well. And I actually do really like Pinball FX 2, and I like the model that they did with that. He says, quote, for us, that's a really interesting model, and we're always looking to be the pointy end of the spear when it comes to experiments, and that's kind of what we're focused on right now, unquote. He would not comment on free-to-play games on Xbox Live Arcade, but he believes that developers underestimate how open the company is to new ideas, and the company expects innovation on the service to be game-led. He says, quote, sometimes people get this incorrect impression about Microsoft that we're very hidebound or set in our ways, and just because somebody might not have been seeing everything that we're doing, they might think that Microsoft will never do that. The reality is, it's actually a pretty dynamic company and always eager to look and learn. We want to do things right, so we might take our time, but we're always eager to see the innovations people are bringing us, unquote. Pit Method in chat says you can always go to the Xbox Indie at the Marketplace to get cheaper games, and that's true. I mean, there's, you know, like I said, I've talked about one of the developers, and he, you know, wishes he could charge more, but most of the indie games on there are, you know, 80 space bucks, 160 space bucks, 240 space bucks, and there's probably some good gems in there. There's a lot of stuff that's not as good, but you know, and it's definitely not a way for anybody to make money. Actually, there was a story like somebody had made a Xbox Live indie game. I think it was the Cthulhu Saves the Worlds guys. Been up there for like a year. They released it on Steam, and like in the first week, they outsold. They made more money like their first week on Steam than they did the entire year on all their games on Xbox Live Indie Marketplace. Dungeon Buster says Witcher 2 did a good job on their packaging for the premium edition. Great stuff that harkened back to the older CRPG days. But that's the premium edition. I mean, I still, you know, you can't say that harkens back to the days when it's the premium edition. You know, back in my day, Shawnee, and when I played Sierra PC games and Infocom PC games, you know, the regular edition had, you know, booklets that were written in the universe. You know, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy came with a little ball of cotton that says it was the invading fleet. It had the destruction of Earth written in both in English and Vogon. And it had, you know, all this other just neat stuff in the game. And, you know, there were scratch and sniff cards for some of them. You know, back in the day, they packaged a lot of stuff in with the 9, 10, 11 discs that had to have the game, which all have gone bad by now. But, you know, in the normal editions of games now, you're lucky if you get a couple pages of a manual. Sterlock says Lost Odyssey has the discs stacked on each other and a fourth disc in with the manual in a paper sleeve. And I remember that. I still have – that's one of those games I've, you know, if I win the lottery and can retire, that's one of the games I'm going to go back to. Fifth Dream says, PC, how old is Black Wolf? Actually, I shouldn't have said PC. I should have said IBM compatible. Dungeon Buster says the premium edition of Witcher 2 is priced the same as the normal version. I'm surprised they didn't just call it that. That's kind of, that is interesting if it was priced the same. Breakman says, back in Black Wolf's day, if he wanted to play a video game, he had to program it himself. I know you're making a joke, but I actually did. And, you know, there's a couple people in chat that probably also remember this. I know if Derek H. is listening, he's going to be like, oh, I did that too, because he talks about it. You know, getting the on like my Commodore 64, getting the new issue of Run or Compute. Those were the two magazines I grew up with. There were others too. But they had games that you typed in, either in BASIC or in MLX was the Commodore 64 machine language, machine code thing. And we would type in the games. So, yes, if we wanted to play the game, we had to program it ourselves, reading from the computer and, reading from the magazine. And, I was lucky enough that I did have a tape deck early on, and then we had disk drives really early on with floppies, so we could actually save it. But, no, if the power went out or the computer went out and I didn't save it or I didn't have a way to save it, yeah, I had to program it again if I wanted to play it again. So, yes. If I wanted to play a video game back in my day, I did have to program it myself, Breakman. Let's move on to other things, and we can reminisce about more games later, because Skype works, so we can take calls later. Let's talk about how you're going to spend more money, or you have the option of spending more money to get certain things if you're an EA fan. Destructoid reports that Electronic Arts has revealed its latest get-rich-quick scheme, because obviously Activision, I guess, is kicking their butt, with EA Sports unleashing the season ticket subscription service. It launched on the PS3 and Xbox 360 this week and will offer 20% DLC discounts, early access to digital access to games, and extra web content for $24.99 or 2,000 space bucks a year. The benefits will kick off with Madden NFL 12 and will eventually include other major franchises. They said in the future they were going to do this. The future came really quickly. This is, let's see here. So here's what you can get. Early full game digital access. 3 days before a game schedule release, fans will be able to download and play the full version of all 5 participating titles on Xbox 360 and PS3. The digitally downloaded game will time out when the game is available at retail, and consumers have the option to purchase the same full game on disc at retail. I guess that's why GameStop's okay with this. EA Sports season ticket subscribers can transfer all achievements earned during the 3-day download period to the purchase disc, resulting in an early edge over the competition. Discounted downloadable content. Subscribers will get a 20% discount on all available downloadable content for participating in EA Sports titles. Downloadable content which enhances and refreshes the core game experience includes such items as Ultimate Team Packs, Accelerator Packs, Cheats, and Gear Upgrades. Free premium web content extends the game experience beyond the console to a web browser. All participating titles will feature premium web content that will be free to EA Sports season ticket members, beginning with the premium Creation Center packs for FIFA Soccer 12. These packs provide a deeper set of customization tools and abilities within Creation Center to build your own teams and tournaments, and will be available to the consumer until the membership to the program has expired. And membership recognition. Subscribers are easily identifiable with an exclusive membership recognition badge displayed both in-game and on their EASports.com profile. So if it's a monocle, can we shoot them in the game? Shoot them down? If we see somebody playing Madden and they're wearing a monocle on their avatar, is that the way that they're going to do the recognition? So I can understand some of this. I don't like the whole the premium web content thing, because that's stuff that they're making for the game anyway. And, you know, the Creation Center, I guess, you know, more customization for your game. I would think that the $60 that you paid for the game should cover that, the customization, because that's a huge part of the game. I'm not going to pay for this. I don't know if anybody in chat's going to pay for this. And right now, I mean, this is just for EA Sports titles. Allegro says, as long as they don't screw with BioWare stuff, I'm fine. I will not buy a season pass for Mass Effect. Right now, I think, like, right now, this is just for EA Sports. But I think, Peter Moore, he did just get promoted to, like, one of the head honchos at all of EA, not just EA Sports. What Up G says, so what about this if I can get a game a few days earlier at a mom-and-pop store? If you can do that, then you don't need to get this. Like, I can see the big draw for this for people is being able to play, you know, get Madden the Saturday before it comes out instead of waiting for Tuesday. That way you have that entire weekend to play Madden if you just can't wait to play Madden. Breakman says he would rather pay a midget to punch him in the balls, and that's why we keep Breakman in chat. So the last story that I want to talk about is not about money, but it's about something we also talked about last week. Last week we talked a lot about Driver San Francisco and Ubisoft having their always-on DRM, where you have to stay constantly connected to the internet to be able to play Driver San Francisco online. And they said this was for DRM's sake. And people were up in arms about it. They said, this is terrible. If your connection drops, you lose connection to your single-player game, even if you're not playing online at all. Stuff like that. Another company is doing the exact same thing, and I bet people are not going to be as upset about this. IGN reports that as the Diablo 3 beta nears, Blizzard announced its anticipated action role-playing game, Clickfest. I guess it's Clicky the Pen's favorite game, will require you to be online at all times to play. The characters you can create in Diablo 3 up to a limit of 10 will be stored on Blizzard servers and therefore require a constant internet connection to access. This applies to all modes of the game, from co-op to player versus player to solo play. According to Rob Pardo, executive producer of Diablo 3, this was done mainly to combat the style of hacking present in previous versions of Diablo. He says, quote, in both Diablo and especially in Diablo 2, I think the intuition for a lot of people when they're playing the game is, I want to make my character offline away from that scary Battle.net environment. And then once I have this powerful character, I'll jump online. But the problem with that concept is we can't really detect if they're cheating. They might have the capability to hack their character, things like that. So at that point, we really can't allow that character to be in the Battle.net environment. Then they're going to have to restart their character, which is exactly what happened in Diablo 2, which was really unfortunate, unquote. And then he continues, quote, your character will be online on Battle.net the moment you start playing. You can play a solo experience like you would in Diablo 2. It's just that your character is on Blizzard servers and authenticated, unquote. This character can then hop into multiplayer games and trade items with others through Battle.net. This system functions essentially like an MMO, which is where if your connection is interrupted during a game, you'll be dropped out to the login screen. It differs from what Blizzard did with StarCraft 2, because even though Wings of Liberty required an initial online activation, the campaign could still be played in an offline mode. So people were upset at Ubisoft. I don't know if people are going to be as upset with Blizzard. What I want to know is, you know, I still wish they could have done an offline character and an online character where, yeah, if you want to play online ever, you have to play the solo game online. I'd understand that, but give me the ability to have offline characters that I never take online. Say, you create this character offline, you will never be able to go online with this. You cannot participate in our real money auction shop. You can't participate in any of that stuff. You have to just stay offline and never go online with this character. That's the way I would have gone. If really the only reason they were doing it was for character hacking, if that was the only reason they were doing it, obviously that's the front they're putting on because I think they're worried about the DRM, they're worried about piracy. So that's why they're really doing it, and they're trying to put the whole character spin on it. So people go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I understand. But really, this is a piracy tactic. Kaijudo says, oh, you can bet I'm angry with Blizzard, so angry I won't be buying it. Fifth Dream says, because then when Blizzard dies, yeah, it's going to die, or hates keeping the servers up, no more characters. Doomplague says, I'm sure the PC gaming master race will have no problems being connected at all times. I was having internet problems this week. I would have been kicked off all my games. Wylands thinks that it'll be patched day one to allow characters to be played offline. Breakman says, I love Blizzard. It makes sense. Stop hating. Spazinator says, didn't Blizzard learn anything from Capcom? After all, two Capcom titles were unplayable when PSN went down. Apparently not. Spyro says it's good for Ubisoft and Blizzard to do this so they can prevent piracy. DeBlue Guy says they're only doing it because of the real money auction house. Yeah, there's an auction house in Blizzard. I didn't put it in the show roll because it was more about the in-game stuff. They're actually doing a both in-game money auction house and a real money auction house to combat gold farming. That's kind of interesting. I don't know if I'm going to put any real money after I've already paid for Diablo 3. I'm not sure I'm going to put in real money to get items, especially if there's a single player version. Derek H says Blizzard will die. Everything dies or gets swallowed up. Blizzard's already been swallowed up by Activision, so at least they've already gotten past the swallowed up part. Zether says Diablo 2 had a good modding community, and Diablo 3 won't support mods. People will drop it from that. Diablo 3 also has colors in it, and people dropped it from that. You could actually see colors in it. It was not all brown and gray. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then I will actually be taking calls this time. Skype will work for me this time. I made sure of it. So we will actually take some calls this week, and hopefully those that tried to call last week will try calling in again. I really apologize about last week, but sometimes that happens. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
This is Christopher Tin, composer of Baba Yetu, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Christopher Tin, with that bumper, he was on the show a couple months ago. It's a great interview. You should go check that out. Welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, you can leave it on our toll-free number, Bobby 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free North America, or you can email me an MP3, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, and you can be a part of the show if you can't be here live. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get a 14-day free trial. You can get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. So why not just go through there and make something? There's a lot of stuff on there, your free audiobook, by going to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. And yes, it really does help out the show. And yes, it is legit. And I do thank everybody that has taken the 14-day free trial. And like I said, you can cancel. It never charges your card if you cancel beforehand. I promise. And it's easy to do. The Blue Guy even did it. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. 1-888-36-GAME-1 toll-free in North America. And during the music break, I checked and I learned that apparently I was a trending topic in Sacramento about 30 minutes ago. I'm no longer a trending topic, but apparently I was trending in Sacramento, California. Not in Atlanta, not worldwide, not anywhere but Sacramento, but I was trending. Thank you, OLR, Orange Lounge Radio. Hopefully we will actually be talking to them. But right now, we're going to be talking to a caller, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Blackwolf? This is Kai Judo.
Kai Judo, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
You hear me?
Yes.
But I just want to go back to something that you said at the first story to kind of connect with what you said at the last story.
All right.
You mentioned before how gamers shouldn't be angry because it's partly their fault. Mm-hmm. And I see that with pretty much every story that you read. You can pretty much say that gamers played a part in that, and I think that I agree with you. Anyone who's angry about Diablo 3, all they need to do is just look back at Diablo 2 when they did actually have they had an offline version where you can make your character offline, but you couldn't play it online, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And people were upset. They were like, why can't I take my offline character online? I really want to do that. Really, they went after Blizzard for that.
Yeah.
And now they got what they wanted.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like that, the EVE Online guy, the CEO in that leaked email, which I don't know if that was actually him or not, but if it doesn't matter, it's still a great quote. It's time to look at what your customers do, not necessarily what they say. And that's exactly what all the game companies did.
Right, yeah. I couldn't agree with that more. That's why the way I see it is if there's something going on in a game that I don't like or something going on in a company that I don't like, I just don't support their game. And you can bet that's what I'm doing with this Diablo 3. I'm very serious. I am not buying this game. I'm not giving it my support just because I don't believe anything that the game stands for. Basically, I'll just stick with Diablo 2, if anything.
So you were okay with the colors and the art style. It was the online only that was your breaking point.
That and also what you briefly mentioned about the auction house where there. I don't know exactly all the details that's going into it, but the stuff that I did here really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
So that's another reason. But graphically, I don't have a problem with it. Graphics is always like fourth on my list. I don't care if they change the look of a game, if a game looks like crap, like Minecraft. I really don't care. It's just like the enjoyment that I can get out of playing it. So yeah, that was never a big deal with me.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Allegro.
Allegro, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about all the talk about digital copies of games and stuff going on today. This is a thing that I haven't really heard a lot of people bring up recently, but it's the thing that I find most important with digital games. Who owns my digital copy? This isn't like an official news story, but like just browsing Reddit and talking to some people I know after the switch from the EA store to Origin, There are some people that whose digital copies of games didn't translate into Origin. And when they were talking with a rep, they were basically told, well, the digital copies technically belong to us, and we didn't want to pay the bandwidth to move it, so you don't have the games anymore.
Well, and
that seems like a problem to me.
Well, that's actually when we've been, you know, it's been talked about a lot, because essentially you don't actually own software, you license it. And that's what a lot of even, you know, boxed games, it's a license to use the software. And, you know, that's why, you know, there's all the licensing things. And, you know, if a game has an end-user license agreement, you don't own it. You don't own that software. And a lot of people disagree with that. Unfortunately, that's the way it is right now. People are fighting to try to get that changed. But, no, I mean, even, like, the boxed copy, you don't technically own the software. Because if you owned it, you could do with it whatever you wish. So, yeah, you are only licensing it from whoever your licensor is.
Yeah, I feel like what my biggest problem is the fact that, like, for example, the switch from EA Store to Origin, and the fact that people just kind of, like, lose games because EA didn't want to pay to have the stuff switch over. It's kind of like, I don't know, it just seems like a big slap in the face, like, oh yeah, we're opening up this new online store, it's way better, oh, and you might have to rebuy half your stuff back.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of seems...
Yeah, that is a dick move.
Yeah, I see, and I'm not sure how rampant that is, but I have been hearing stories of people losing games from Origin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of interesting that I feel like that's a topic that has like gone down a little bit in discussion, but I feel like it's really, really important in terms of like what am I buying? And I feel like a lot of people just think, oh, cheaper price, or oh, this or that, but I'm really worried about what is considered mine when I purchase something.
Well, you know? I can tell you what Steam has stated, and what's in kind of some of they've got in writing in several places is that, you know, if Valve goes out of business and Steam goes belly up and Steam goes away, they are going to release code that will unlock the DRM on everything you've purchased on Steam. That way you'll be able to play it offline. They have stated they're going to do that. They don't plan on going out of business, so they're not going to actually do that. You know, so right now they don't need to worry about doing it. But they have stated that if something happens like that, they are going to do what they can to unlock your content. Steam still owns the licensing, but they can turn off that licensing, and they said that they will in the event that Valve goes out of business, Steam goes out of business, whatever. Apparently, EA Store did not have the same type of caveat. And probably in the licensing agreement that people who bought titles from the EA Store, it probably said there probably was something in the legalese in the licensing agreement in that 80-page document nobody reads, everybody just clicks I agree on, that says in the event that the store goes down, you may lose access to your content. And you agree to that by clicking I accept.
Yikes. Well, that's one more reason why I like Steam.
Yeah.
Just that kind of the security, you know, especially if you're getting a digital game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll let you get to somebody else.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right. See you.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. That is kind of, and that's why a lot of developers like having, or publishers like having the digital copies, because they can control the access to it. So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Jim Sally, baby daddy, Jim Sally!
And he says I never pick up his calls.
I know, you must have messed up and thought you were picking up Jim Salvador's call instead.
Yeah, and so instead now, and just, you know, to give a visual, there's a picture on the screen right in front of me now of a little blonde kid picking his nose.
Well, that's my little cousin Liam, or my little nephew Liam.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from a long line of gold diggers, man. He's starting young, man.
So that's what greets me when I take this call. What's up, man? What's on your mind?
Not much, man. I was calling in about everyone scared about the Steam closing down.
Nobody's scared about Steam closing down.
Steam's never going to close
down.
No. Shut up.
And Blizzard's never going down either.
Blizzard, they make so much money every year. I heard that they make more money than more than half the African nations or something. Like, individually, World of Warcraft makes more money. It's disgusting how much money comes into World of Warcraft. Steam's not going anywhere. Don't worry about your games, people. Come on.
But EA Store went somewhere when they changed to Origin, and they just didn't transfer the access to people's games that they bought in EA Store. That's where I think some people are getting scared, because EA screwed over their customers.
You're buying games from a company called EA that puts out a new one every year. Like, really? Do you think you have more of a shelf life than a year on your games anyway? Come on, people.
But it's the principle of the matter.
How many games do people want to play? How long can you play FIFA 2007 for? You gotta go away sometime.
Didn't you buy, like, FIFA 2007, like, last year?
Because it was so cheap? I spent a little more. I bought FIFA 2009.
Oh!
Ooh, I know.
And how much longer are you going to be playing that?
Probably for another year or two.
See? That's how long.
The season. Yeah, but I got the disc, right? I don't need to sign into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I got the disc.
What if that changes?
What do you mean? Like, some EA ninja's going to come to my house and steal the disc?
Or they could just render it inoperable. Like, that's what they can do with Spore.
I got guns on the premises, EA, just so you know. Just so you're forewarned, Texas style, before you enter my house and get my FIFA 2009.
Texas and Canada?
Yeah, we have a Canadian Texas here. We call it Quebec.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole other world over there, man.
I hear they don't even speak English there.
That's what I'm talking about, man. They just forget English. Speak French. Deal with it. They get whatever they want, man. They stroll around into English parts of the country and say, speak French. And people are like, parlez vous français? You have to speak French and stuff, man. Mm-hmm. They do it right in Quebec, man. They do it right in Texas, too. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, and I think in Texas they don't speak English either. They speak American.
No, they speak Spanish, dude. I've been to Texas.
Oh, they do?
They speak a lot of Spanish. I have heard people speak English, but I find you get a lot further if you can speak Spanish.
So in other words, you will play your EA games no matter what, and if they try to stop you, you're going to shoot them.
Well, that's how it works up here, man.
Yeah.
That's possession is 9/10 of the law, and I possess a disc. Mm-hmm. So the lesson the story, people, is buy your games on discs, man. Kick it old school, you know? Go to the EB Games, get it dirt cheap. Just like Bobby Black with Tachi Masali, man.
That's right.
YouTube replaying FIFA 2009 right now for $7.99.
And then you two can be picking your nose on in a Skype picture.
The circle of life comes together.
Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Don't forget, kids. If you're picking your nose and it starts to bleed, you're picking it too much or not enough.
I don't have anything to say to that. All right, well, obviously nobody's going to be able to top a Jim Sally call, which I kind of understand. Nobody can top that. Before I call the next group here, I do want to say that I was nominated for they're called the Parsec Awards. And I was nominated by a listener, and since this is a different type of awards thing, it's actually judged by a jury. It's not like popular vote or anything, and they require you to send in a 10-minute sample. And I did not make it to be a finalist. Pod Culture, sometimes Brad, he listens to our show and listens to Orange Lounge Radio as well. He actually did get like a couple shows, got into the finals for this, and I can kind of see it's more for like science fiction and stuff. It's not, even though this qualifies as speculative fiction. Video games are all speculative fiction. So, I mean, I qualified for the award ceremony, but I had to send in a 10-minute sample. And the third segment, you could send in a maximum of 3 segments, all totaling 10 minutes. The third segment was actually a Jim Sally call. That was the fun. It was the one where he was on Amazon's side. So, unfortunately, I didn't get into the finals. The jury picked 5 other great shows. There were like 40 nominations, and they could only pick 5 to go into the final. So I was up against some stiff competition. But congrats to Pod Culture on getting in. I think he got a couple shows that he does, got finals in different categories. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento, California, where I was trending on Twitter, by the way, apparently. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games much longer than I do. They talk about other stuff. So we check in. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was trending in your fair city on Twitter.
I know. I just saw a plane fly overhead that said something about, for a good time, call Black Wolf at...
at 1-888-36-GAME-1?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. They got planes flying overhead. I don't know what's going on, but
I'm huge. I'm huge popular in Sacramento. Now,
yeah, you're huge in Sacramento. That's great. You know what else is big in Sacramento?
What?
The Kings.
Who are they?
Exactly.
Is that kind of like me making a Thrashers joke or something?
I think so. Wait, I don't know if you saw my reply to you on Twitter. I'm like, so this means we get to trend in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, good luck with that.
I know, right?
I'm trying. Let's see what is trending in Atlanta. I know I'm not trending anymore. Let's see. You're going up against Ashton Kutcher and Taylor Lautner and Big Boy.
Big Boy, you're going down.
That's who's trending in Atlanta right now.
Skinny Boy when we're done with you.
As in Bob's Big Boy?
Yes.
Awesome.
So what's going on, man? It's been a while since we talked.
It has, because all the Skype issues last week. Mm-hmm. But it's good to talk to you. I got to say, Humble Indie Bundle is kind of the buzzword of the past few weeks in gaming, and rightfully so. It's amazing. Have you had a chance to check it out?
I've looked at it. I haven't had a chance to kick in some dollars yet.
Oh, you're going to have to before the deal's up, because I'll tell you what, it's a steal. It's, yeah. It's amazing games, and it's just a fascinating model for how they're charging for it. You know, I know earlier in the show when I was listening in the car, you were talking a little bit about the rising cost of games on Xbox Live and, you know, what is a disc game worth, what is a download game worth. It's really, I guess for lack of a better word, ballsy to see a group kind of going, pay what you want.
Yeah.
Let's see how much we can make, pay what you want. And I guess so far they've made $1 million. Now, granted, that doesn't all go to the developers because they do this really interesting division. And when you donate to Humble Indie Bundle, you choose where the money goes.
Yeah.
You give $20 for the games and you want all 20 of those dollars to go to Child's Play, you can do it. Electronic Frontier Foundation, sure. You want it to all go to the developers, fine. I mean, it's really interesting when you kind of go in there and buy the games. Their default way of splitting up is kind of, you know, most of it goes to the developers, but some of it goes to the charity, and a little bit goes to the website. It's really neat how they've done it, and clearly has been a success. And there's just some awesome, awesome games in there that I'll be talking about later tonight in Gaming Week, because, one of them is just owns me. It's amazing.
Yeah, see, my internet has been really bad all week, and so that's why I'm like, I'm not going to download anything big. Or anything, but we're good now.
That's good. Good.
Comcast guy came by this afternoon, gave me a new modem, and I'm getting like blazing fast speeds that I'm not even paying for. Shh.
Awesome. You know, send them to my house since you're popular.
I talk
here.
About hating on Comcast all the time, but there's actually a service that I found today that they have that was like, wow, that's kind of cool, and didn't know they had that. You can actually block up to 12 numbers using their phone service so that they get this message, we're not accepting calls from your number, you know, instead of actually going through to you. And
don't tell Bobby that. He might set it up on us.
So I set it up with this. We got this, it's some marketing firm for like some newspapers or something that they call us like twice a day, like every day.
Would you like to subscribe to the Sacramento Bee? Do you even know what the Sacramento Bee is, Bobby?
Isn't that like one of the reporters on The Daily Show, one of the correspondents?
No, that's Samantha Bee.
Oh, okay.
Samantha Bee. The Sacramento Bee is our newspaper.
Oh, you guys have those out there?
Oh, believe it or not, when we're not, we don't have to write it on the side of a cow, yes, we have a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. So Derek in our chat, Derek H., he actually does not like the Humble Indie Bundle. He says they're like, pay what you want, but then they turn around and say, well, if you paid more than this number we made up in our heads, you get extra crap. And let's be honest, some of those games you'd never play past the demo.
How is that different from what a lot of game companies do? If you want to pay us another $10, we'll give you some special maps.
It's like $5, though.
Hats.
It's like, if you spend more than $5, you get like 20 games. That seems like a good cost ratio.
And well, yeah, one of these games alone is worth at least 10. At least 10. You know, and so if you spend 10 on the bundle, you're getting... it's if in my mind, it's like buy one game, get like 10 other games I'll at least check out once or twice for free. So I'm down with it.
And he says it's a bait-and-switch scheme where they only have the bait part.
Nah, I'm not following. I don't get it. But maybe you got burned by the bundle somehow, or maybe bought it and then found out he had to spend more money to get the second half or something. I don't know. Tricky.
So what's the website for the Humble Indie Bundle, or just Google it?
I think it's humble.com.
Okay.
Of course, I don't want that to end up being a porno site, but...
I'm not going to check just in case it is.
I'm brave. I'll check. Oh, that's a placeholder site. Okay, don't go there.
Humble Bundle.
Thank you. Humblebundle.com.
There you go.
Their Twitter name is Humble. I know that much.
Ah, okay. And I bet they're not trending in Sacramento like I was.
Not yet.
So what else is going up on the show tonight?
Oh, we got to talk about some of the updates on the whole 3DS price drop, what's been going on there. We want to kind of give our own take on the Diablo 3, not just Diablo 3 and the huge news there, but of course, huge news going on in Warcraft. And I know it's kind of like I got a separate show to talk about that, but enough of it will affect gaming long term that it's worth bringing up, especially with Blizzard being, quote unquote, the number one, you know, PC developer right now. Where they go, other companies may follow. But if you don't like what they're doing with Diablo 3, Torchlight 2 would love to have your business. Saying.
Derek H. says, he continues on because he's still going on about the Humble Bundle. He says, they do not tell you about the magic $5 when you buy it. And I just went to humblebundle.com, and it actually says right here, bundle in a bundle, pay more than the average of $5.69, and you'll receive all the games in Humble Indie Bundle number 2 as well. So to me, Derek, that actually is before I buy it. I have to scroll down to get to actually the part where I buy it.
To be fair, that was added in about a week after the sale started.
Okay.
So it's kind of where he feels like there's been a switch. But from what I understand...
you have to understand, early adopters always have that kind of curse where there's added features and you know whatnot later on down the line. That is the price of being an early adopter.
All right, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Wow. And I'm looking here. They've made almost $2 million. I guess $5.69 is the average purchase. So if you pay more than the average, you get the extra stuff.
Which is funny because the average has been slowly crawling up. When I bought Bundle, like $4.97 was the average.
Yeah.
But because people keep putting in $5, $10, you know, just so much to beat the average, it's going up.
And they have top contributors. MTGOX.com contributed $4,096. I like that. It's a base 2 here. Notch from Minecraft did $4,048 for this.
they're not Minecraft, you see.
Yeah, and then and I think they're doing a Minecraft thing too. Aaron Hibby did $3,000. Witness Game did $2,718.28, and Expired Popsicle did $1,024. Again, another Bitwise number there. So
I know, did $20.
Mm-hmm.
But I might go back and give more, actually. I think it's
If you pay more than $593, you can get your Twitter name on the top contributors.
Oh, hey. So I don't have that much money.
you could say it's from OLR, and your link to your Twitter, OLR Twitter, will be on the top contributors.
I don't want to spend that kind of money.
So, yeah, somebody's going to look at that and go, wow, OLR's got a lot of money. That's amazing, considering they're a podcast that has no ads.
Exactly.
Or money.
Or money.
But you will be up next for free.
We will.
We do not. I mean, people. We should. We could do like a Humble podcast.
I know. I was gonna say, pay what you want for this show.
Yeah.
I expect most of you will continue to pay nothing, and that's That's fine. You pay with your time.
That's right. Awesome. Anyway, thanks so much, guys. You guys are up next. Have a good show.
You too, Bobby.
OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can get their podcast, or they're coming up right here on All Games Radio at AllGames.com. And I am done for the night. That's all that I want to inflict on you guys this week. Next Sunday night, I'll be back, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at AllGames.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave us a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper for use in the show on our toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Join our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or you can add me to Google+, your circles. I'm Bobby Blackwolf there. BobbyBlackWolf.com has a link to my Google+ profile. You can also use our form over at BobbyBlackWolf.com to send an email Or you can just join our official forums and chat room here at All Games Network, allgames.com. Take part in our community. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Show's not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who doesn't know about it. And, you know, leave a favorable review on iTunes if you got time on the iTunes Music Store. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the wonderful chatters we have here. DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, The Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, DeBlueGuy, Doomplague, Eastwad, Funnydale, Havoc, Kitsune, Maximilian, Shadow Nexion, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wylan, Allegro, Alphacanagram, Mason, Suma, Bacon Bits, Billy OK, Bozo, Breakman, Card Freak, CGU11, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Dark Toagak. Is he in twice? No, he's not. Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Fifth Dream, Fire Cube, Frank Branches, Blender, J Irv, Jim Sally, Kaijudo, Kazan, Lady Esh, Lord Cypher, Loserly, Matt Cube, Multi General, MXD, Necromoss, Pit Method, Ranma, Rob Roberts, Ruben, Sean, Silver Sonic, Spazinator, Spyro, Subzi, TechyQ, Tedekin, THK, True, Warham, What Up G, Wilcon, Zappy, Zeba, and Zether. That's it for me. I'm out of here. I'm going to go buy this Humble Indie Bundle, actually. Now that I can actually download it. You can use PayPal or Amazon Payments or Google Checkout. They give you a lot of ways to pay. HumbleBundle.com. Go get it. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of All Games Radio or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios for All Games Radio.